Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. As cosmotheists, we recognize that we are part of the whole, and the whole is the Creator, the self-created. As a cosmotheist family, every past Thanksgiving that we have been together, my wife and our children gave thanks to the Creator before our Thanksgiving dinner. I gave thanks for my wife, the greatest gift that life has given me. She gave thanks for me. We gave thanks for our beautiful children, the beginning of our line of descendants, which will, if we do right, extend into the infinite future. We gave thanks for our ancestors from Europe, who made us what we are, and for their great achievements, which allow us to apprehend and understand and shape the world around us. We gave thanks to nature's God for the beauty and fertility of nature all around us. We gave thanks for the teachers, such as Dr. William Pierce and Revelo P. Oliver, who worked intensely for many decades and at great cost to share their lifetimes of learning with us. I hope that your Thanksgiving is fulfilling and warm and deep. As a writer and editor and broadcaster, I have sometimes generated some controversy among letter writers to National Vanguard by using the word God. These letter writers don't like the word. They are good people, some of them among the best people who have come to us. I don't like offending them. They are those who have come to us after rejecting Christianity, and rejecting not only Christianity, but all Abrahamic revealed religions, and in many cases rejecting all previously existing organized religions. That's a rejection that I and all cosmotheists share. I empathize and sympathize with them. My path was similar to theirs. I once agreed with them about that word. I felt a tad uncomfortable with God. They reject supernaturalism, which is certainly 99% bunk. They are rational and logical. They embody all that was good about the Enlightenment, and nothing that was bad about it, which was a great deal. They come to cosmotheism more as a self-evident philosophy of nature's purpose than as a religion. They may have a slight twinge when Dr. Pierce says, "We are of the Creator," in the cosmotheist affirmation, wishing he'd used another word. But that wish is mollified a bit when they understand that he was talking about the whole, the entire universe, as the Creator, the self-created, and that we are obviously a part of that, an evolving part of that. They may have a slight twinge also, I used to myself long ago, when Dr. Pierce teaches us that our destiny is godhood, and again, may wish he had chosen his words differently. The word God, and possibly to a lesser extent the word Creator, have been ruined for these people by their use in common parlance as synonyms for the Jewish Christian Jehovah. When they hear those words, they see naive Sunday school illustrations of a bearded man up in the sky sending stone tablets down to Semitic shepherds. They fear that the readers and listeners we really need to reach, the ones who can really build the alliance, the brightest and most hard-headed, who just laugh at the slave religions and their nonsensical beliefs, will just snicker and move on elsewhere when they hear the word God falling from our lips. I totally get where they're coming from. I'm fairly certain that our founder, William Pierce, would have also. But his mature viewpoint was quite different from theirs. In his seminal speech, Our Cause, Dr. Pierce wrote, quote, "We are not the playthings of God, but are ourselves a manifestation of God, and can become, must become, now a conscious manifestation. Only in that way can we fulfill our ordained destiny." Close quote. In his Moving Forward in a Dark Time, stating that we should highlight Godhood as our ultimate goal, he called for a, quote, "shifting of emphasis from attacking the enemy to teaching, preaching, and developing our resources for recruiting. It means less emphasis on the negative, less emphasis on immediate problems and provocations, and more emphasis on the positive, on our long-range goal of striving toward Godhood." Close quote. God was also at the very center of Dr. Pierce's vision of the future, as expressed in his Creating a New Society. Quote, "We want a society, finally, which in all its institutions and its policies, in its schools and its athletic programs, in its taxing policy and its welfare policy and its foreign policy, in its environmental programs and its military defense program, reflects the one overwhelming fact that it is a society not of man alone, but of man as a part of God, as an embodiment of the divine spirit." Close quote. Dr. Pierce was particularly focused on God in his piece entitled Winning, in which he said, quote, "Now we must work harder than ever at the things we have worked at before, but we must also begin making sure that we all know the answers to certain fundamental questions. Among these questions are, why is it necessary that the white race maintain its biological integrity? What is God's will in this matter? What is the proper relationship of the individual to his race and of the white race to the rest of creation? In what way do our lives have an absolute meaning and value? What is the purpose of man's existence? How does the individual attain immortality? What are the basic values on which we want to build a new society?" It should be noted that these questions aren't new, but our answers to them are, even though in some cases we may simply be looking at an old answer in a new way. And the integrated whole of which the answers to these questions are parts is the new creed which must sustain and guide us. Is it necessary that the most highly evolved race of man, the pinnacle of creation, maintain its integrity, that it protect and preserve its unique features, and give free rein to its creative urges, rather than drown these things in the cesspool of miscegenation? Is it necessary that man continue his climb toward the Superman rather than plunge again toward Subman? And if we understand the great upward course of evolution of the universe, the eternal process of creation symbolized in our rune, to be the self-manifestation of God, then it is clear that what we are doing is necessary. Our struggle is that part of God which is in us, seeking its own self-realization. It is the struggle of the human toward the divine, of manhood toward godhood. In our race, this divine spark, this upward urge, has always been too strong to be denied. In this age of the ascendancy of the powers of darkness, however, the minds of many are confused. The urge is still there, but it has been misdirected. The enemy has blinded most of us to the fact that the inchoate gases of the void, the silent frozen mountain peaks, the rustling trees of the forests, the teeming jellyfish of the oceans, and man are parts of the whole, which is God. God existed before man and will exist after man has surpassed himself. But man is now, for a period, a part of God, of the ever-changing, ever-evolving whole. All the parts of the whole serve God's purpose, but of those parts, only man is capable of a consciousness of that purpose and a willful contribution to that purpose. Once we have freed ourselves from the false teachings of the enemy, once we understand the inequality of all things, the inequality of the races, then the consciousness of our purpose can be restored, and the necessity of our struggle becomes apparent. Close quote. I don't think there's much danger of readers or listeners misinterpreting our use of the words creator and God in what Dr. Pierce has written, and wrongly thinking these words are synonymous with the Jewish Yahweh Jehovah, at least not by careful readers of decent intelligence. We who follow in Dr. Pierce's footsteps should always make our meaning equally clear. And I also think that there may be a very real advantage in using these words. They tap into a strain of thought that is just as evident in Aryan men and women as is the strain of reason and logic and objective observation. That of intuition, of taking leaps of understanding based on our mind's subconscious correlation of experience, instinct, deep memory, and perhaps even racial memory. Some great scientists and innovators, in fact, have credited intuition and a sense of harmony and beauty with some of their greatest discoveries and insights. I think that's a part of our race soul, just as much as consciously correlating collected data is. I think white people are masters of both types of thought. I think that in some of us, the rational predominates. In others, the intuitive. And in yet others, there may be more of a balance. It's certainly true that intuitive thinkers can be misled. Think of all the weird spiritual cults that have been with us for as long as we have historical records, and which still thrive today. But that doesn't mean we should throw out Tesla or Poe or Pythagoras. And rational thinkers can also be misled. Think of all those rational libertarians and Marxists who have gone down those race-destroying, and totally preposterous blind alleys with what they think is rigorous and inexorable logic. But that doesn't mean we should throw out Newton or Bacon or Poincaré. Most of us, I think, have in our souls a bit of both tendencies. I see one of my purposes on earth as appealing, as far as my limited abilities permit, to both kinds of thinkers, to bring them to the truth. Cosmotheist truth. Many intuitive thinkers see our use of creator and God as positives, since they are instinctively drawn to feelings and expressions of the divine, and are repelled by libertines who justify horrifying behaviors on the ground that nothing exists but randomly moving particles, so why the hell not? They are intuitively disgusted by the money focus and shallowness of both capitalism and Marxian socialism, and seek a creed which puts our eternal destiny on a higher plane than stock options or a new speedboat. They seek a higher way, a spiritual way. They intuitively understand that life has a purpose, and that we have a purpose. We cosmotheists can show the best of them, must show the best of them, what that purpose is. I think we need to get our rational thinkers to see that the intuitive thinkers in our ranks are definitely onto something with their feelings of awe and purpose and destiny that they see in the stars and in the eyes of their loved ones and racial kin. And I think we need to get the intuitive thinkers in our ranks to see that the rational thinkers are absolutely necessary for that destiny to be achieved, both in a practical technological sense and also by keeping the reveries and visions of the intuitive thinkers from straying too far off the path, or being co-opted by con men or aliens who know how to press their emotional buttons. And I think we need to get both kinds of thinkers to see that God, yes, God, comes into full being, full flower, full consciousness, and full power when we win our racial struggle.